Cool.
Music.
And action!
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller, of course. And Sit and Sleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. And thank you for that, Larry. The phone number, 800-222-5222. Use it. Participate in the conversation. Tell me what's on your mind. Complain about something. React to something I have said. First of all, are you upset that the president came to town? Because engineer Steve just told me the 110 backed up forever to the 10 while they're waiting for him, I guess, to get to the airport last night. I've heard reports of people backed up 2.5 hours. It's funny how even if you vote for a guy, when he ties you up in traffic for 2 hours, all of a sudden not as happy. And he came down here for fundraising. They all drain the swamp and then go into Beverly Hills and raise as much money as possible. I don't know how much he raised last night. He was up in that enclave up in Beverly Hills at the top there. I forget what that's called, but it's a gated community, and the houses up there are insane. Insane. The tent that they put up in the backyard, because they showed an aerial view, is 7 times the size of my house. And you got I think the row up there is Rod Stewart, Chaim Saban, Denzel Washington, I think Michael Eisner, and the houses up there are like 60,000 square. I wonder what you do in a 60,000 square foot house. I had a friend who was very wealthy, billionaire. I won't mention his name. You would know who he is. And he had a very big house. He had like a 14,000 square foot house. And it's what I thought. It's exactly what I thought. You sit in your underwear, just like we do in the little area of the kitchen, watching a small television while you eat ice cream. It's the same thing. You use a small portion of the house. He had a big room that was like a ballroom that I don't think they ever used. He had a living room I don't think anybody ever saw. Basically a bedroom, kitchen, bathroom. And I don't know what you do unless you do a lot of entertaining, but those houses up there, Beverly Crest, that's it. Beverly Park or Beverly Crest is all the way up in Beverly Hills on the top there. And that's where the fundraising was for him. So if you're stuck in traffic, I don't know if he's gone. Is he gone yet or not? We'll be leaving soon. I see that a couple things. Number one, the Dow's down about 260. And that Larry Kudlow, the TV personality and a friend of Trump's for a long time, has been hired to replace Mr. Cohen as the economic advisor. So I don't know Larry Kudlow's take on stuff well enough to know what advice he is going to give the president. I do know that with Tillerson gone now, there's a meme out there where I've been Tillersoned, you know, and everybody's comparing notes of how they were tweeted their exit from relationships, etc. It's all romance stuff, but it's a guy was at a bar and his girlfriend Tillersoned him. Hashtag Tillersoned him and told him, I don't want to see you anymore. So Tillerson went from being the head of ExxonMobil to Secretary of State to being a meme about a breakup verb. He must be very, very happy about that. The president also stopped to see the wall, and I cracked up. I cracked up at his comments at the wall. Let me see if I have. Because at the wall, he basically is now saying something I said ages ago, and anyone who's ever been down to the wall says you don't want a wall. You have to be able to see through it. Because you got to know what's going on the other side. So that was the first thing that he said. Well, you got to be able to see through it. No kidding. You got to be able to see through it. And doesn't have widespread support just for a wall, because even in his own party, they're saying it's a multi-level thing. You need all kinds of new tech. Walls can't arrest people. Walls can't put handcuffs on somebody and take them away. So the higher you go, they'll go under, they'll go around. I'm not saying that we should just have open borders. On the other hand, the wall may not be the most prudent thing, but I was up in the middle of last night because I thought of what we can do. Get giant, one of those giant bell, you know, those bell things, what are they? The internet doorbell that you can see who's coming across. Like when somebody's at your door, you can see who they are. You can talk to them and they think you're there. So, why don't we get one of those? It's made right here in Santa Monica. Get a giant one and place them every 1,000 yards. And then say, hey, who's there? And it's basically a guy in a room in Encinitas who could be talking to people using the bell. news right here at home, LAUSD officials are encouraging students to engage in 17 acts of kindness. Tuesday's school board meeting, LA Unified School District officials reiterated their safety concerns. And as I said yesterday, if you're at a school and you know your kids want to protest and do a walkout, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place because your job all day is to keep them alive, and they're your responsibility. So unless a parent sends a note or comes to pick the kid up, I think a lot of school districts will give them an absence. Also, they have to be careful because a student may want to walk out for something else next week or disrupt the class. So some are doing assemblies where they're discussing the shootings and they're discussing gun control. This thing is big. It's all across the country today, and there will be another march on the 24th of March. So this is not the only event. So this will keep going, but it will be very interesting to see if these students will stay motivated. I know there's a lot of signups for voting. They want to keep these kids active, voting, and try and see if these legislatures, their legislators, will take note of how active this next generation is. Although usually it's about just getting elected now. It's not about getting elected down the road and grooming these kids to be a Democrat or Republican or issue-oriented. Richard in Los Angeles, good morning. You're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. What do you want to say?
Peter. I was just saying, you know, it was kind of rude for the governor and the mayor not to meet the president at the airport. You know, I mean, this is the president of the United States. Regardless of our grievances and everything, he still is running our country. And, you know, I just think those personal things where Governor Brown, you know, he wants taxes for us. You know, why he's calling war on, you know, California.
Governor, there's no way he's coming down here. You know that. There's no way he's coming down here to meet the president. And nor is Garcetti. They don't want that photo op right now. Garcetti's going to be running for who knows what. I mean, he did the Olympics. He got to travel the world and eat giant prawn overseas and network with some major people. Obviously, he's got his sights set on a larger office soon, and he wants to keep his base. And Jerry Brown, I think at this point, there's no way he's ever going to address Trump because of their differences. And I don't know that the president actually wanted to meet him. Is the president complaining that the governor wasn't there to meet him? I don't think so.
Well, Peter, it's beyond the differences. I think it's the people, you know, of this great country, the United States, that we look after because, you know, he owns a golf course here in California. He's not against California. You know, and another thing, you know, he's got deals that we have to have the government of the United States to help us keep California great.
Well, he's not going to, I'll give you one instance. He's definitely not going to fund the bullet train at this point. And yes, the state is at odds with him.
Let's stay on the same page because Governor Brown just lately, he's talking about, far as the China, far as global warming. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So he's totally trying to take California into a different direction than the governor is trying to tell us.
The governor's attitude, and thank you about that, Richard. The governor's attitude is this is, I forget, one of the fourth, fifth, sixth largest economies in the world, and that the president is at odds with this economy as far as understanding what Californians want, what they stand for, et cetera. So that's a big divide. And they're not, again, Jerry Brown is not going to fly down here and have a photo op with the president. And it is unfortunate that people can't get together and they can't cross party lines. But right now, there's no way that's happening. And Eric Garcetti, I can't imagine a photo op there because we know what the mayor is looking at and we know where he's going and what his future's looking like. He's already making noise about the office that he's going to run for. So there's no reason for them, with the wall and with, global warming and with all the other issues that the state has with this White House and the taxes that hurt the state. There's no way these two legislators are going to be there and greet the president, at the airport. Meanwhile, the president's got his own issues right now because the bigger issue is what's he going to do with the rest of his staff there. What's he going to do with, now that Tillerson gone, what's he going to do with General Kelly? What's he going to do with McMaster? Hearing rumors this morning that there's going to be a big shakeup because he really wants to get the cabinet that he's not happy with to be a cabinet that he is happy with, that stands by him, that supports him, that's in march in lockstep with him on policies, even though his policy ideas change. So again, he's going to go back to Washington right now. Again, he just put in a replacement for Cohen. And the Mueller investigation keeps going. There's a movement there, too, from the House Intel Committee yesterday that came out and said that Russia was not behind trying to help Trump and hurt Hillary. Now some are backing away from that. Some of the members of that committee are now backing away from what they said there. So, and the bigger issue, too, is going to be Mike Pompeo and Ms. Haspel at the CIA. They're past the confirmation. They're not going to be slam dunks. And that's going to be interesting to see, too, because the Intel community has been slammed as of late, correct? And undermined, and their Intel question. And now you're going to have a woman, first woman nominee for the CIA, who's going to be slammed for her part in waterboarding and her part in doing torture after 9/11. And they're going to either decide to get past it and say it was context of the time we were attacked on 9/11, and it was a different time, it was a different issue, and they were, their job was to make sure we weren't attacked again and to decide if this was a one-off, if there were going to be other attacks. We didn't know at that time. So in 2018, looking back, in retrospect, how do you put that in context? And is she the right person to do it? She's a career CIA person, very, very well-trained, very well-respected. Former CIA, head of CIA said, you know what, she should explain where she stands today on torture. But it doesn't necessarily take her out. And this is a Democratic, and I don't have his name in front of me, a Democratic CIA, former director of CIA, who said she definitely should be considered, because she does a great job, should not automatically be taken out because of her stance on torture, because of the time and the context. And John McCain said something similar, that she needs to explain and put some explanation to that, because she was ahead of the program, and supposedly she was one who got rid of some tapes that that showed torture that could have been used as evidence. So we'll get more insight into her as the architect of a torture program. It'd be interesting to see if women stand up for her and say, yes, we support her. She should be the first woman head of the CIA, and they should look at her accordingly as far as her achievements. So that's in the mix. As far as back to local, as far as the LAUSD and the campus walk-off, one of the big issues that these students want is they want a ban on assault weapons. They also, one of the big issues is whether teachers should be armed in class. And just today, in Seaside, California, teacher who also served as a reserve police officer, trained in firearms, and they don't know why he did this, accidentally discharged a gun at the Seaside High School in Monterey, California, during a class devoted to public safety, and injured a male student. It ricocheted off the ceiling. This is the strangest story, and by the way, of all time to have this story. It happened late yesterday, so it's being reported today. The weapon, which wasn't described, was pointed at the ceiling, according to a statement from the school. The police chief told the Montgomery County Weekly a male student was struck in the neck by debris or fragmentation. The student's father said that it was his understanding that fragments in the bullet ricocheted off the ceiling and lodged in the boy's necks. And he said the teacher told the class before pointing the gun at the ceiling, he was doing so to make sure the gun wasn't loaded. Something, by the way, that you can determine visually by looking at the gun and looking in the chamber. Really weird. They learned about the incident. The boy's father said he learned about the incident when his 17-year-old son came home with blood on his shirt and bullet fragments in his neck. He's shaken up, but he's going to be okay. I'm just pretty upset that no one told us anything. We had to call the police ourselves to report it. That is weird. That is strange that you would send a kid home bloodied from a teacher shooting a gun into the ceiling, and you wouldn't call ahead to give a heads up to the parent that he would find out about it that way. The teacher, meanwhile, was identified by police as Dennis Alexander, who teaches math as well as a course in the administration of justice. He's a reserve police officer for Sand City and Seaside City Councilman. He could not immediately be reached for comment, but he was reportedly apologized for the incident. Now, my question is, why was a teacher displaying the weapon in the classroom? Why was he pointing at the ceiling? I can't wait to hear the whole story of a math teacher taking out a gun in class on the day before the student march. Kind of odd. The incident occurred during the administration of justice class, a career track course offered by the school. The state and law school policy forbids carrying firearms on campus without authorization. So a lot of questions to be asked. Why a teacher who had training, by the way, had gun training. Again, this guy's going to be poster boy because of the timing. A teacher with gun training discharged the gun accidentally in the class. The fragment hit a kid. They didn't call the kid's parents after the gun went off. No report was filed. The cops weren't called. Students kind of anecdotally talked about it, and the parents found out about it when he had a fragment. The son had a fragment in his neck, and that's how they handled it in this school. So I'm sure they're going to get to the bottom of this. The teacher is currently on administrative leave, and this comes, of course, while we're in the midst of a national debate on how to protect students from mass shootings. like the one that took the lives of the 17 people in Parkland, Florida. So not the greatest timing, or maybe really good timing, so that we're talking about this as far as a teacher who's trained with a gun in the classroom that went whoopsie, and it went off, and thank God it didn't kill a student or hurt anybody worse than this kid, but it all becomes part of the conversation. And the students are rallying here right now as we talk. All right, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. The phone number, 800-222-5222. I got tickets to see Jackson Brown at the Greek Theater. I also got tickets to see Carrot Top at the Saban Theater. And I will give you a chance to win those in just a little bit. I do want to talk about torture and the CIA a bit more when we come back. Also, the changing of the cabinet and what's going to happen to the White House now that Mr. Pompeo's in there. And he's much more of a hawk than Rex Tillerson was. So how is that going to affect the Iran deal? How's that going to affect the North Korea deal? Because remember, Tillerson was the one who was in favor of diplomacy and opening lines of communication with North Korea. And the president said, you're just wasting your time. So Mike Pompeo in there is going to impact that all. How? 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Soon I will be Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Lots to talk about. I want to mention Stephen Hawking in just a little bit because he just passed away at 76. Fascinating, stunning mind, amazing mind. And what he managed to do was almost incomprehensible how he functioned. But I want to ask you, do you think any of this student protest and the show of unity is going to do anything legislatively? Is it going to change any laws? Is Congress going to look at these kids as a voting block that's coming up strong? I mean, lots of them are on the cusp of voting or can vote now. So will this do anything legislatively? I mean, they're unified today. They're going to march again in March on the 24th, I think it is. There's another march scheduled that's an offshoot of the Women's March. And it looks like they're rallying in big numbers in every major city. And in Europe, too, they're doing it. There's a lot of protest in Europe, too, as support. But as the student walkout, is it going to end up eventually in stricter gun laws? And will these students, will this whimper off into the sunset at some point? But it will it impact lawmakers? Do you think they're listening? Do you think it will be something to be to reckoned with? The March of Our Lives, by the way, is March 24th in D.C., and it's called Empower, part of the Women's March. So I'm looking at it, and I'm just wondering if they are going to put enough pressure, or is the NRA strong enough, and the millennial vote far enough away that these legislators won't be moved by it. They'll be moved by it because it's their children, and it's an issue they should be moved by, but they won't do enough legislatively. It won't make that much of a change. 800-222-5222. Tell me what you're thinking. Any of this stuff going to change any of the laws in this country as far as the gun laws are concerned? And any legislators going to be moved by this to the point that they will act and actually do some stuff? And we'll see a difference before the next school shooting, which I hope doesn't happen. But, man, I've reported on too many of them. All right, 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Right after the break. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right now. Coming up, I'll give you a chance to win tickets for Carrot Top or Jackson Brown, so stay tuned. Also going to be talking about how you got Tillerson, and that became a huge meme, and everything else that's going on in Washington right now, like Theresa May expelling the 23 Russian diplomats. What are we going to do in response to that? And one GOP senator saying, I'm going to push back for sure, 100%, on the CIA nominee. And it's not somebody I wanted, the CIA nominee and Mike Pompeo also. And I'll let you guess until I reveal that which senator, Republican senator that is, who said, no, I'm not going to approve Pompeo or the woman who's going to be the head of the CIA. But this story just shocked me. A dog died in an overhead locker in a United Airlines plane. United Airlines is saying they accept full responsibility for the dog's in-flight death, but apparently a mother, a child, small child, 8, and a toddler, the sister, brought this dog on the plane and had paid for it and had it in a carry, you know, dog carrier thing, which you usually put on your lap or below the seat. The flight was from Houston to New York City. A witness said The flight attendant asked the passenger to put her airline-approved pet carrier in the locker above the seat. And the person behind them is claiming that the attendant from United Airlines knew that there was a dog in there. And, of course, they put the dog, after being assured that it was going to be okay, the flight attendant asked the passenger to do it. The woman eventually complied, and at the end of the flight, the dog was dead. And apparently it was a small dog, unfortunate. The breed, I think, was a French bulldog, and they already have, there are certain breeds that have, like pugs and bulldogs, that have really short nasal passages and makes them really, really vulnerable to heat stroke or any kind of oxygen deprivation. So they put them in the overhead. I think the flight was a 3.5 or 4 hour flight. They took the dog out. He's dead. The woman collapsed on the floor, crying. The kid was crying. It, awful, awful, awful. So you read about this, and you read about one passenger that saw it all and claimed that the flight attendant was wrong. However, another passenger popped up and said, no, the flight attendant thought it was just a bag. Had no idea that there was a dog inside there. There must have been some miscommunication. And asked them to put it in the overhead. I ask you, as a pet owner, if I had my dog in a carrier and I'm on a United Airlines flight and they come up and say, put the dog in the overhead container. We all know what an overhead container looks like. There's nothing going on in there. You're shoved in there with other bags, etc. It's really tight. There's not a whole lot of air going on or airflow. You know what you say? You say, no, I refuse to do that. And I still don't understand why somebody who loves their pet, a dog owner, would even say yes to that. I would rather be escorted off the flight or have it turn around to the gate than put my dog up in the overhead compartment, which is kind of a death sentence. I do not. There's something that doesn't make sense about this story. United, of course, is definitely apologizing and saying it definitely their fault. According to the Department of Transportation, statistics on animal incidents on U.S. carriers, United has the highest rate of incidents involving loss, injury, or death of animals during air transportation. It's about 2.24 incidents every 10,000 animals transported. I've never seen an animal in an overhead container. Has anybody here ever seen an animal put in an overhead bin? No, Joe, nobody ever in an overhead bin. That's because no one would do it. Who are these people? I feel like Seinfeld. Who are these people? The passenger, Maggie Greminger, said she was sitting behind the one with the dog, gave her account. I witnessed a United flight attendant instruct a woman to put her dog carrier with a live dog in an overhead bin. The passenger adamantly pushed back, sharing verbally that her dog was in the bag. The flight attendant continued to ask the passenger to do it, and she eventually complied. Who complies? At what point do you say, yeah, I'm going to put the dog in the overhead? By the end of the flight, the dog was dead. The woman was crying in the airplane aisle on the floor. The eyewitness said, my heart was broken. And she did a huge blog about this. But then, like I said, another person who was on the flight came out and said, I watched the whole thing. And for sure, the flight attendant had no idea. They thought it was just a bag on the floor. So they asked them to put it in the overhead. I ask you, what person would put their dog in an overhead on a flight? I would just say to the flight attendant and to the pilot, you know what? There's no way. I paid for this. It's an approved carrier. I'm carrying the dog on my lap, or I'm putting it under my chair. And guess what? If anything happens to my dog, you're going to be responsible because you shouldn't have told me to board the flight with it. I was never told to put it in the overhead container. That's insanity. That is a death sentence as far as airlines. And if you hadn't noticed too, airlines are getting the new thing airlines are doing now is they're running flights that are cheaper, but they're doing basic economy fares, which means that they charge for anything. The perks that you're paying for now on flights used to be just standard stuff, like leg room, like padding for your seat. Now when you get the price of a basic economy ticket, you can't change the ticket. You can't necessarily sit with people that that you want to sit with. They move you to where they want you. You can't cancel the ticket or you lose the price. So all the perks used to be given for free, and now they're called perks all of a sudden, which I'm not thrilled about. Dave and Simi, good morning. You're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning.
Hey, Peter, I just wanted to report something. They showed that carry-on with the poor dog that was killed.
Right.
And it was not an approved, like, there's usually a cage with wire and it's wide open.
Yeah, so there's
this
air.
This was a canvas bag, okay?
Yeah.
It was just a carry-on canvas bag that was rectangular in shape. And it had no holes for the dog to breathe. So either she didn't tell the flight attendant, and I don't think the flight attendant knew.
Yeah, I can't imagine that a flight attendant, look, most Americans, and that's why the story resonated, have pets, right? one of the big topics is always pets, because everybody has a dog or cat, loves a dog or cat. It would seem odd to me that a flight attendant, knowing there was a pet in there, would say put it in the overhead container, because I've never seen that before.
Yeah, but like I said, it was an enclosed canvas bag. And maybe the dog barked and they didn't hear. I'm not sticking up for the attendant because I don't know what happened. I'm just telling you what the bag looked like. And it was not approved. I've carried a dog on a plane before, a small dog.
So it didn't look like...
But it has to be approved.
Oh, you know what, Joe, my producer's telling me it was a TSA-approved carrier. So I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
They showed the bag. In fact, they actually had a shot of the dog, sadly dead, this canvas bag, and they blurred it out so you couldn't see it. But I didn't see any openings anywhere on that particular bag.
And even in the story, it said it was a TSA approved carrier, and that they called ahead of time and booked a ticket, knowing it was in this carrier. So yeah, maybe you're seeing it, and it just doesn't look like it on television. But apparently, it was a TSA approved carrier. But that said, if you have a dog, are you going to put it in the overhead bin just because somebody tells you to?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you get off the plane. First of all,
you know what else? You get off the plane, or you put it. In the luggage.
I don't even like, dude. I wouldn't even let my dog go below in the hold. I'd buy a seat. I mean, I'm crazy that way, and I don't even love my dog that much because he's a pain.
Yeah.
But I would buy. Right. I'd buy a seat for Dexter. Thank you, David. 800-222-5222. We'll be right back. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. The phone number 800-222-5222. Got to mention Stephen Hawking, who was the theoretical physicist who became a rock star because of his brief history in time, which sold millions and millions and millions of copies. A lot of people said that it sold millions of copies. Not everybody read it, but a lot of people wanted to have it on their bookshelf to show people they were smart and had it. He passed away at age 76. What an incredible, incredible mind. It's a genius. His father was a physician, and his mom was active in the Liberal Party, and he was the oldest of four siblings. And in college, he has what he called the terrible thing, which he noticed at Oxford, that he got clumsy and would stumble and fall for no obvious reason. And that was when he got the equivalent of Lou Gehrig's disease, and he got very depressed, holed up, listened to music. But then he met Jane Wilde, the woman who would go on to become his wife, and he went to graduate school and became a fellow at the Royal Society. And again, he began to question the Big Bang Theory, and he started talking about humans colonizing other worlds. The amazing thing was, he stayed married to her for a long time, 25 years, I think. But she said he was remote, no kidding, and stoic, and she had to take care of him. She could imagine you had to do everything all day long, and she said he never appreciated it. The illness really took its toll on her also, because she had to take care of the young children and him. So they grew apart. He ended up marrying his nurse. And they ended up separating. But I got to tell you, in reading what Stephen Hawking wrote, some of the comments that he made, some of the brilliance that came out of him, it is amazing. My worst fear, and I had it happen for probably seconds, but it felt longer. I came out of surgery, and I didn't know they were doing an exploratory. And I could not see, and I couldn't move, but I could hear. And I thought, I'm going to be trapped in this body the rest of my life. And I did the trying to move thing, and the surgeons said he's waking up, and then I woke up days later after the emergency surgery I had. But my biggest fear was not being able to communicate. And this guy, I had talked to William Shatner, who interviewed him about Stephen Hawking. He said he would twitch his eye. All he could do was twitch his eye a little bit, which would get the voice recorder to activate. So painstaking. But to live a life that way for as long as he did, trapped inside a body that can't move, that relies on everybody for breathing, for moving, for wiping and cleaning and feeding. What a brave thing that is to go on. I don't know that I could go on that way. Stunning, and to achieve what he achieved in that body was stunning. And the fact that he made it till 76, they had given him 2 years to live. And he lived till 76 and lived a very full life. I remember he was in a plane that was doing parabolic dives so he could be weightless because he wanted to feel that. But how incredible. And he traveled, and he lectured, and he lived a full life trapped in that body. It was stunning. I remember I used to call him, and here's what he said when I called him.
Peter Tilden, your intellect is like a black hole. Please stop calling me.
That was it. of course, I got to inject a little humor. But what a life. What a life. Can't even imagine how brave that is to live that kind of life, that trapped, and yet that productive. So many of us aren't trapped like that and not nearly as productive. So amazing, amazing human being. I thought he deserved a shout-out. Pretty amazing. 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. All the leaves are brown. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Till the 10 continues. It's interesting. Sam Nunberg, who was an aide to the president, was on television again. This guy can't help himself. He loves going on television again. He was on CNN's New Day. Remember, last Monday was Nunday. They wanted to rename it because he was on so often. And he talked about Roger Stone. He talked to the president. But he said something that was so indicative of where we're going today, politically and as a country. And I'll play that for you after the top of the hour news, because I think it was more stunning than anything else he said. And it makes a real big point about how we're playing politics today and how we deal with sound bites and how we make decisions on policy today. So I'll play you the Nunberg clip. Also, I want to talk about the Pennsylvania special election with you. 800-222-5222. How big a deal it was that a Democrat may have won. It's a neck and neck at this point. I think it's a couple hundred votes away. But everybody's spinning it to their benefit. Hillary's out there. She's still talking. Elizabeth Warren, everybody's saying take a DNA test. The president may make some more changes in his cabinet. That's pretty huge. And the House Intel Committee that said Russia did interfere in our election, but was not intentionally trying to help Trump. Some of the members of that committee are saying something different today. So there's a lot to talk about with you. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Be happy to take your calls when Peter Till the 10 continues right after the top of the hour news.